I've hit the button.
Oh, you hit the button. Okay, then that means we get to start. Welcome to Card Knock Life, episode 102. I'm Corey, and here's Daryl.
What up?
Daryl, I thought it was going to be just another day at the office today.
I did too. I thought we were going to talk about some, I thought we were going to talk about some GP.
Yeah.
And then I thought we were going to speculate as to how Modern was such a healthy format.
Yeah.
That nothing got banned, and we all had a three-way tie with our Modern Pro Tour thing. And that was that.
Yeah.
And well, we did still have a three-way tie for our Modern Pro Tour thing. There was some unbans. Oh boy.
I thought we could get through this one without having to use the explicit tag on our podcast. But I don't know. Hopefully we can control ourselves.
I think we can.
Whether good or bad exclamations, we're going to have some exclamations. We are officially sponsored by ManaTraders.com, so we're really happy to be partnering with them officially. In the previous few months or so, we have been promoting ManaTraders using our affiliate code. Now we have a much better code to provide to you. Let me just say what ManaTraders is. I know we've talked about it on our cast before. We've had Jason on our cast a few times as well, but I just want to point out, if you are unfamiliar with ManaTraders, it is like a very unique and very specific but very important type of service that is offered to Magic players. It is a subscription rental service for now paper and Moto cards. It started as Moto rental only. You can rent an entire deck. You can rent singles. And basically what it is you pay a monthly fee for a number of tiered types of subscriptions, all the way up to 1,250 tickets worth of cards in a month. And you can rent those cards, turn them in, and you lose nothing if your card gets banned and it loses value. So say you've purchased a Golgari Grave Troll just before the banning. No skin off your back. You send it back to ManaTraders and you're good to go.
But the best
part about it is you get to play all the standard decks you want, which is the biggest one that kind of gets hit by price fluctuations. And I'm really digging and looking forward to playing some more standard decks using my ManaTraders account.
Yeah. You also get to try some different modern decks, because a lot of times, as a modern player, if you bought into something like Grixis or Jund or something like that, you know, you have a few expensive cards. You have Thoughtseize and Inquisition.
Yeah.
And those are the base of, you know, a lot of decks in modern. But, like, it's really hard to buy Mox Opals. Like, those things are really expensive. So if you had your Thoughtseize and Inquisitions and you wanted to try a Lantern, you need to rent some Bridges and Opals. Can mosey your way on over to the ManaTraders site, grab your Opals and Bridges, because the rest of it's all draft commons, and you can fire it on up, see if you like it. If you like it, you can send it back to ManaTraders and buy it. If you don't, you learn that you hate Lantern, and you can move on with your life.
Or worst case scenario, you miss the unban of some really specific and expensive cards in Modern, and you can't afford to purchase them, but hey, your ManaTraders account has you covered, and you rent your playset of a particular Mind Sculptor at some point.
That's a very nice segue there, Mr. Corey. We're going to hold off on that for just barely a little bit.
Before we leave this, oh, I just want to point out, I didn't get to say our subscription code. I said we have one, but 14% off, right above my head, somewhere over here. You should see the subscription code is CardKnockLife. It gets you 14% off your first 4 months. So that's pretty significant. Last month, we were offering about a 7% off subscription. 14% doubles it. It doesn't get much better than that. So give that a shot and let them know we sent you by putting CardKnockLife in at checkout. So, Daryl, go on. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
Before you did make a nice little segue there.
Yeah.
But before we go to a Monsieur Mr. Mind Sculptorino and his friend Bloodbraid Elf.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the GP that just happened that is now invalid. Which is GP Toronto. I mean, it's basically invalid. It's a whole new meta. Like, people are gonna do all sorts of shenanigans. Like, right.
Well, let's keep it short then. Let's talk about this GP Toronto business.
Toronto. Seven different decks in the top eight. This is where you would get people argue, why in God's name did we do this? Seven different decks in the top eight.
Yeah.
Grishelbrand, Burn, Jeskai Control, Elves, Affinity, Boggles, Burn, Traversia. That's eight different decks.
Burn's up there twice.
Oh, Burn's there twice. Okay, cool. Yeah. I was like, that's eight different decks. What about, I can't do math. seven different decks in the top eight.
That's a lot of burn, first of all. That's my first impression. I've seen a lot of burn lately.
Burn is a powerful deck. Like, you can't say no to it.
No, you can't.
I'm gonna run through some of the cool stuff.
You can say ley line to it.
I mean, you can. You got, you know, top 32, you've got Mardu Pyromancer, you got a Bloom Titan deck, you know, Humans, Jeskai Breach, Titan Shift. You know, the kind of stuff you've become accustomed to. We've got a showing from Black Red Hollow one. We've got some Tron decks. The Blue Red Pyromancer deck from the Pro Tour. Some more Burn, some Dredge. Just the usual suspects. Nothing Eldrazi and Taxes in 27th. Nothing really jumps off of the page as surprising anymore now that the Black Hollow one deck has been spoiled. But the finals, Burn versus Boggles. That's what everyone had written down in their fantasy pick'em for GP Toronto. They're like, I got Burn and we got Boggles, and I'm taking Boggles, boys. Like, nope, that's not what anybody thought. But for some reason, Daybreak Cornet has a really good matchup against Lava Spikes.
I think creatures with Hexproof have a really good matchup against Burn spells in general. So dogs in that one. Burn.
Yeah, so we're already dogs, but you know, when they put the Daybreak Coordinate down, that slams the door on the game. You can just call it a day. And that's pretty much what happened. And then Snaring Bridge got blown up by a Seal of Primordium to seal the game for Boggles. And Boggles won the finals of GP Toronto.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I would think that Burn is heavily unfavored in that matchup. And looking at the rest of the decks in this top eight, there's not a lot of like edict effects going around there.
You're right, but let's also be fair. Even if there were like a giant pile of edict effects, I'm pretty sure this Boggles player played Mainboard Leyline of Sanctity and just said, "Yeah, I don't care."
Oh, they did.
Yeah, three Mainboard Leyline of Sanctity. Jesus. I'm pretty sure our Boggles player was just like, "You know what? I'm not gonna get beat by Liliana."
Yeah.
And legitimately, this is actually a very reasonable thing for him to do. Because if you look at Boggles, there's like one subsection of cards that really matters against it, or two subsections, both of which kind of fall in the same pile, which is discard. Because turn one, taking their Boggle and leaving them with a bunch of garbage, really bad for them. Edict effects. And there's really only one that's commonly played, and that's Liliana of the Veil. So like that whole cross-section of cards is beaten by Mainboard Leyline of Sanctity. It also gives you a Mainboard game against Storm and Burn. All these other PBS combo decks that are trying to like do crazy garbage that isn't like ad nauseum, like Titan Shift, whatever. You can't kill my Boggle. You can't kill me. Go figure something out. I don't know what you do. So like, this seems like a really good top eight for the Boggles deck.
Yeah. Check this out. I'm curious about the top cards here. The most played cards really is what it is. And Lightning Bolt is the most played card overall in 46.88% of decks. That's nearly 50% of the decks playing Lightning Bolt. That's huge. It's really good. No doubt, really good. But I don't think we would have, you know, there's kind of a time where Lightning Bolt sort of like seemed to fall out of favor when Fatal Push was printed. But now I think we're remembering what three damage can do for you. And a lot of these decks are taking advantage of that.
Lightning Bolt's about to get pretty better here in a bit.
Pretty better.
Just saying. It's already pretty dang good, and it's about to get pretty better.
As far as diversity goes, look at this top 32. The deck that is the most represented, a cursory glance looks like Tron, and there are about four copies of Tron in 32 decks. So that's not bad at all. I mean, that's not anything near what Standard looks like at any given point in time. And then even beyond that, there's like three Black Red Hollow, and I'm actually kind of surprised to see that as frequently as we are.
As well as
Mardu Pyromancer.
It's just a powerful, explosive deck. And then any deck with Thoughtseize is a deck that like has a puncher's chance, so I'm not surprised to see Mardu Pyromancer in those kind of numbers either.
Yeah. We certainly see the effects of the Pro Tour last weekend, though, with the Hollow Ones and with the Mardu Pyromancers.
And
then Traverse Shadow as well. Yeah, and what?
Shadow. Thing in the Ice. There's a couple blue-red Thing in the Ice decks.
Oh, yeah. And so, speaking of which, and I should have also mentioned this, I'm dropping the ball, it is a Monday. The contest, we had our contest for our Fantasy Pro Tour Pick'ems. I have to confess, I did score the points, and as soon as I got home to log in, my Excel spreadsheet got all screwed up, so I'm going to have to postpone the announcing the winner until next week. But I will tease you with this little hint. The person that won also picked the winning deck. Go figure.
No.
Right?
So did anybody get that like 7 to 10 point range where like they're gonna get a unicorn token, or are we just unicorn
well,
tokens?
Well, yeah, our winner has 7 points. I think maybe even 8 points. So I think it's worthy of a unicorn token. And I'm going to GP. I'm going to SCG Indy this weekend. So I'd be happy to play that unicorn token at said event if that. That's not gonna work. I gotta announce it on Monday. Sorry. That was my fault. Missed opportunity for use of a unicorn token. We'll have to use that in the next event, but I will, when that person contacts me for mailing address, if they're cool with it, I will happily Photoshop their face onto a glorious unicorn token to be used by the host of the podcast, including John Galley, who was on for the Fantasy Pro Tour Pick'em to begin with.
Yeah.
By the way, John went to Toronto and played Burn, and he was like 7-1 after day one.
Yeah, 7-1, and then he just kind of, the wheels fell off. I don't know if he didn't get enough sleep, or he was just the hype, or just had some bad matchups. I unfortunately didn't get to follow him on the Sunday, because he was doing a nice little Facebook post for it.
Yeah.
But unfortunate to see a friend have the wheels kind of fall off on him.
He had some pretty big players that he's matched up against, though. I think he beat Seth Manfield, it looked like. And
yeah, he beat quite a few good players, just kind of struggled in day two, and it all happens to us. I mean, you gotta play well and run good for two straight days. It's hard to do both. So I think we've dallied enough.
Yeah, we've dallied enough. Let's get to the meat of this this podcast here.
All right, banned and restricted announcement. I failed because I wrote the show notes.
Yeah,
and did not include the link to the banned and restricted announcement. I failed.
Oh, it's okay, I have it. And I will provide it for those who are.
Please provide it for the folks. Please provide it for the folks on the cast. Actually, I just acquired it, so I'll put it in the Twitch chat for the folks watching.
I'm sure everyone's seen this at this point. Okay.
Watching on
modern,
the Twitch.
Here we go. Standard, nothing. Legacy, nothing. Modern.
Nothing.
This is specifically a modern ban and restrict update. Jace the Mind Sculptor and Bloodbraid Elf are unbanned. All right.
Unexpected
reactions.
I dropped an F-bomb at my desk, and then I slammed my face into my desk. I'm going to be 100% honest. Like, I literally slammed my face into my desk. And at first, it was from excitement. I was just like, I kind of fainted a little, and I was like, all right, boys, it's game time.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it some more, and I'm like, you know, this is probably going to be pretty miserable. And I don't know if I want to play Modern anytime soon.
Oh, boy. Hang on. You gotta let this play out a little bit before you make claims like that. I'm a little freaked out by it too, but I'm certainly not gonna quit the game.
I'm not quitting. I'm just saying I might be more hesitant to pick up my modern deck for FNM and go do the things. I'm like, I could just play Commander. Probably feel better about it.
Let me say this. My first thought, Daryl, I thought immediately of my Uma Thurman. And how I'm going to be playing my Uma Thurman that our former podcast host, Brandon Semerow, so nicely graffitied on for me when I lost a game of Scribble Ante to him. My other Bloodbraid Elves are okay. I think I'm going to have to turn them into other Uma Thurman characters. This one's clearly
a Kill Bill. You could just buy a fourth Bloodbraid Elf and put Uma Thurman somewhere else.
Not today. They're like $10 now today. So I'm going to just rock the Uma Thurman in the meantime.
That's fair. I have to scramble to find all my Jaces. They're in various trade binder box things, and I don't know where they are, but I have them.
So let's get into this. The rationale for the unbanning here, a couple of things. They put bullet points in the article. Modern's return to the Pro Tour is shining a spotlight on the format, makes this a great time to revisit past decisions, and see if they still make sense in the current era. So they're using a lot of the data from the Pro Tour to determine if these two cards could come off. They've said they've been eyeing them up for a while, right? So the data we gathered from both the Pro Tour itself and from several weeks of Magic Online play as pro players tested for the event have helped us to cross-check our decisions against what's doing well in the real world.
See that? I'm going to stop from there.
Okay, go for it.
I do not agree with that.
You don't agree that they've been using the data to make their decisions?
So I don't agree that data of the pro players testing for the Pro Tour is useful.
Oh, okay.
Because oftentimes what a pro team will do, and they, you know, I've seen them talk about it on Twitter, is that if they find a deck that's doing well in Magic Online and they're like playing a league with it and they're in a competitive league and they go 4-0, they just drop. They just 4-0 drop so that the results don't get posted and their deck doesn't get given away for the Pro Tour.
Is that true?
Yeah.
All right. That's how the Pirate Stompy thing got going, right? Is they were playing this awesome pirate deck in Legacy, and they didn't want anyone to see the list, so they dropped out of the world. I think it's a myth.
No, pro teams have actually copped to doing it.
All right.
That they will do that. So I find it kind of questionable unless pros are using their own accounts and actually posting results that are showing up in these 5-0s. I don't know how I feel about the data.
Okay.
So, like, the data in, like, a downtime when there's no GP, like, modern GP, and the pros are just playing modern for enjoyment or for streaming or for whatever, I would add some more value to that, 100%. But I would find it questionable right before the pro tour to use that data set specifically. Sure. That's all.
Let me go on with their rationale here.
Sure.
More things.
Go ahead.
Compared to other BNR windows, this one has the maximum amount of time before another modern pro tour. This will allow the format to breathe and evolve without immediately undergoing the pressure of the world's top competition. I can respect that.
That's fair.
And here's the other. Here's the most controversial topic here. The reprint of Jace in Masters 25 will provide greater availability for our player base.
Just get the hell out of here. They want to sell Master 25 packs. If you would have just said, we want to sell Masters 25, and that's why we're unveiling Jace, I'd have been like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. You got it, boss. Like, go for it. If they print Blood Braid Elf in Masters 25 at Uncommon, like it was, I'm totally fine with this. Like, both.
He's going to be a rare. He's going to be a rare.
I know, and it's going to bother the hell out of me that it's going to be a rare.
Yeah.
That you have to have a rare to check your mythic. Like, it's really annoying. But I don't like it. If they would have just said, we want to sell Masters 25, I'd have been in. Mm-hmm. But Masters 25, unless it's going to be mass produced like a normal standard set, isn't going to really change the circulation of the Isle of Jace's in a meaningful way.
Well, let's look at the facts here. Jace was about what, $70 to $80 yesterday?
It was a little lower than that, but
a little lower than that. You can get one for $120 at the lowest right now for a modern one on TCG.
I have it.
Okay,
Paper
go ahead.
Magic. Paper Magic on 2/7. Paper Magic. Jace the Mind Sculptor was $65.
Okay, so it has doubled in price is what's happened.
And skyrocketed to before today to $85, and it is now $140.
So here's the thing. I'm feeling from the perspective of a player that's played Modern for a long time, I feel like I've done a lot to build my collection. I've built my decks. I have the cards I need for the format. Every once in a while, a new card gets printed. It doesn't cost $100 in a standard legal set. But now they have artificially introduced this card to the metagame that maybe as a control player, I might feel like I need to inquire in order to have the most optimized build in my deck. And it happens to be $140 freaking dollars. So I'm feeling a little bit punched in the gut about that.
Yeah.
But I get it. You know, it's something we've been asking for a long time. You can't please all the players. Half the players are pissed off that it's $140. It's going to ruin their strategy.
I have not asked for Jace. Like, as much as I just look at Jace and I play it in Legacy, like, there are games of Legacy that I cast Jace and I'm like, yeah, this card definitely needs to be banned in Modern. Like, this card. And that's in a format where there's a one mana destroy target Jace. Like, there's literally a card that you could scribble out blue permanent and write Jace, and people would be like, yeah, that's still a really playable Magic card. Like,
that
blows my mind that, like, we need to have a Pyroblast in Modern. Otherwise, this is going to go insane.
So,
because in the games where you untap with Jace, I don't know if you've ever untapped with Jace in play. In the games where you untap with Jace, you're probably like a 90% lock to win the game.
Yeah. That kind of brings up a good point here and maybe a good segue. So rather than us WTFing for the next 25 minutes.
I'm going to probably WTF anyways.
Let's talk about what kinds of waves these unbannings are going to make. And you said that the format Legacy has a one mana destroy target Jace. We have access to a card that is one in a blue counter target Jace. It probably sucks, but it leads me to think,
what is that card?
It is literally counter target Jace. It is Jace's defeat. One in a blue for an instant. Counter target blue cell. There's a Jace comes off this card too. But here's my point. It's a segue. I'm trying to segue. Go with me here.
Okay.
What effects is this Jace I'm banging to have on the format? Here are a couple of things that come to my mind immediately. One, I'm fearing for my Tasigurus and my Grimmaw Ganglers, which I love to play so much. Because when they get bounced, it hurts.
Are so embarrassing. Like, if you get them into play before Jace and you get to untap with Stubbs.
Yeah.
You just, okay, you got Jace. Bah! Which Stubborn Isle is like a natural predator of Jace anyways.
Yeah.
Because, like, Force Spike is just really good against 4-mana sorceries.
In Modern, yes.
Yeah. Like, Force Spike is very good against 4-mana spells.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to play them on curve. So, like, you do just have this, like, random Force Spike that gets them sometimes.
Yeah.
But, like, if you tap out or you, like, do some stuff and then just, like, slam your Angler... And you have to look at it like your Angler and be like, well, this is my game plan. And if they have a Jace, I'm dead.
Yeah.
And that can't possibly feel good.
Yeah. I mean, you play an Angler on an early turn, you're likely to have mana untapped to counter said Jace.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but if like it's like turn three.
Yeah.
Like, they're going into turn four. And, like, you do some cantripping because you didn't have a threat. And you find this Angler. And you can delve away your graveyard and play your Angler and you're tapped out.
Mm-hmm.
You just look at your hand and you go, if I don't have the blue source and the Stubborn Isle in my hand, I have to play this Angler because, like, I can't do anything.
Right.
Like passing with this mana up is just dumb.
Yeah.
And if I have this Angler and I play it and they have Jace and I don't have, like, Kolaghan's Commander Bolt, this is embarrassing. Like, my Angler gets bounced, my entire early turns were nullified, I got some mana, and I hope to draw like a Kolaghan's Command to kill this thing. And if I draw a Kolaghan's Command and kill this thing and make my opponent discard a card, then they want to like throw themselves off of a bridge. But if I just draw like a banana and they untap a Jace and Fate Seal me, then I'm like so far behind it's not even close.
Right, right. Well, let's talk about, rather than what gets worse, what gets used more maybe. I don't know if it necessarily gets better. More use out of it. I'm thinking, what's that?
Better question mark?
Well, not better. But Hero's Downfall, obviously, Dreadbore, cards that destroy target Planeswalker are going to be more useful. Maelstrom Pulse, Anguished Unmaking, yeah. Detention Spirit can deal with the Jace.
Anguished Unmaking I'm not so high on. Three life is a lot.
It is a lot of life,
and it's a liability because you have to have that card in your deck usually against aggro decks, and that's just not something I'm interested in.
I can see more decks packing one or two main deck heroes, Dawnfall or Dreadbore, in place of like a Terminator or a Fatal Push, though.
So I think one of the big losers here is Fatal Push.
Why is that?
We kind of watched this wave happen. Where like Lightning Bolt was just the 1-mana removal spell. Like there were 2 1-mana removals, Bolt and Path to Exile.
Uh-huh.
They were just kind of the two dogs, and like depending on where you wanted to be, you picked one or the other. And if you played Jeskai, you played both and laughed at people because you had all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And then they printed Fatal Push right in the middle. And so like we saw Bolt go down because the amount of things that people played that died to Bolt also died to Fatal Push, and Fatal Push could kill Tarmogoyf, which Bolt could just never reliably do. Mm-hmm. And that was a big liability. When Tarmogoyf was a big creature, was that Bolt could never kill it. And so now you watch Fatal Push come in, Lightning Bolt goes down, Tarmogoyf gets down.
Okay.
And so now we have Jace. Guess what card is really embarrassing against decks that are probably playing Jace? Fatal Push. Guess what card gains a lot of value from Jace's existence? Lightning Bolt.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see Fatal Push and Lightning Bolt do the economics thing where they cross, and then Lightning Bolt is going to go Fatal Push down, Lightning Bolt up, everything great.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen here.
Yeah, I can see it.
And I think because of that, you'll also see a spike in Tarmogoyf and other 2 and 3 mana and 4 mana creatures that are big. And don't die to Bolt. And so the key is how to balance those against the threat of Jace. Because, like, the first time you get bounced by Jace, it's always tempo negative for the Jace player. Mm-hmm. Like, they play a Jace, and they bounce your Tarmogoyf, and that's tempo negative. You invested 2 mana a while ago, they invested 4 mana immediately, you get to do stuff. If you draw a Bloodbraid Elf, you get to laugh them out of the building, because you get a spell and you kill their Jace. And then you have, like, a 5-6 that you get to play later for very little cost.
A 5-6?
The Tarmogoyf.
Oh, the Tarmogoyf. Gotcha, yeah.
And so, if you play the Tarmogoyf again into the Jace, and that's really the only thing you can do, and you can't interact with the Jace, then they bounce the Tarmogoyf again, and now you've gone tempo negative. The Jace has netted them tempo by bouncing the Tarmogoyf, making you lose mana, and then letting them continue to progress their board.
Right.
So, like, the dance of Jace versus Tarmogoyf and Jace versus Dark Confidant and all these, like, 2-mana creatures that are probably the most likely things that are going to get bounced. I don't think you're going to see much like 3 and 4 mana creatures get bounced by this. Mm-hmm. This is sort of the dance we're doing. And you see it a lot in Legacy. Like, you play it and, like, you bounce their Tarmogoyf or you bounce their Young Pyromancer, and those are, like, the two things you can really bounce. Or you bounce, like, Leovold, you lose a card, and that's just, like, miserable.
Yeah.
But, like, in this format, there's no, like, scary Leovold thing that keeps Jace in check that, like, keeps you from brainstorming, and when they target your stuff, you draw cards. So, like, it's like you get to bounce their Tarmogoyfs and their Dark Confidants, and, like, Lightning Bolt is the card that keeps Jace in check. And because it's seen in almost 50% of the decks, that number's going up. We're going to see Lightning Bolt. I would predict that 3 months into Jace's tenure in Modern, Lightning Bolt will be in 65% of decks.
Wow.
Like, it'll be, like, the top most played card was at 40%. It'll be at 65%, I guess.
Yeah, it's 46% in the GP last weekend, but that's just the top 32 decks, too. I don't know what overall.
I think it will go up to 65%.
Yeah, overall, total.
Yeah. Okay. No, not overall. I think in the top 32 decks, I think it'll be at, like, 25% meta share.
Okay.
Because it's such a splashable card.
Yeah.
Well,
here, I got one for you, too. So we're talking about cards that can kill Jace. How about this one? Creeping Tar Pit's really good at killing Planeswalkers. Creeping Tar Pit hasn't been seeing a lot of play recently, but that's a 3-damage creature that is unblockable.
So Creeping Tar Pit is going to be at its best in decks with creatures. Because the problem with Creeping Tar Pit, and, like, you saw this in Worldwake when the Manlands and Jace were in the same set.
Yeah.
If you played in the blue-black control mirror, or, like, blue-black versus blue-eyed, or whatever color combinations are happening. The player playing against Creeping Tar Pit always had to plus their Jace.
Yeah.
And never got to gain advantage. Like, never got to start the Jace advantage train. And so, like, back then, Jace could legend rule each other. So, like, the blue-black deck played extra copies of Jace Bellerin with Creeping Tar Pit in their deck to make their Jace the Mind Sculptor opponents plus and never get advantage out of their Jace, and then just play 3-mana Vindicates on the Jace, the Mind Sculptor. And then we'll be able to follow up with, like, a discard spell to take the next Jace.
Gotcha.
So, like, that was kind of the Jace sub-game. Uh-huh. So now you don't have this Jace sub-game. Now it's just the Jace Creeping Tar Pit sub-game. And if you don't have Tar Pit plus Bolt, or, like, a way to make Fate Seal keep my Jace around, like, not profitable for your opponent, you're not going to get the free roll killing Jace with Creeping Tar Pit. So, like, if you have, like, a creature or two in play, or, like, a creature in play against a Jace with a Creeping Tar Pit, they play their Jace and they bounce your creature, they've probably tapped out for Jace and you kill a Creeping Tar Pit.
Right.
And so you've put them in a position where they're going to use Jace as, like, a really fancy cantrip, and then you just kill a Creeping Tar Pit, hit them with your creature, which is also just terrible for them. So, like, by having Creeping Tar Pit and a creature, you've made them wait turns to play Jace, which you've bought yourself extra time to just kill.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think, like, Sultai, or just really Sultai, that's the best creature version, because you have, like, Tarmogoyf or Grimflayer or Dark Confidant. Like, the decks with the good creatures that can go alongside Creeping Tar Pit are the decks that are going to be advantaged against fighting against Jace.
Sure.
So there's, like, two different axes. There's, like, Lightning Bolt, which is really good against Jace, or creatures plus Tar Pit, which is really good against Jace. So, like, it kind of carves out two segments. It's, like, Red Anything and Sultai, because you have, like, these very good creatures that attack Jace. And, like, and then there's, like, the Red X Aggro decks that just ignore Jace.
Right, right.
And so I think the natural predator of Jace is Jund, because it has Bolt, and it has creatures, and it has our other unbanned friend, Bloodbraid Elf, which makes, like, if your opponent is playing Jund, you just have to automatically Fate Seal them. Like, you can't brainstorm with your Jace, because they can either Bolt it, or they can untap, play Bloodbraid Elf, get a free spell, and smack your Jace. And then you lost your Jace, and they got a thing, and it's just horrible. And when that thing is like Liliana or Tarmogoyf, you're just like,
yeah.
Because like now you have like 8 power you have to beat, or you have this like miserably good Planeswalker that like is just eating away at your hand, and you still have to beat the 3-2 haste, and you can't really do it with Jace Bounce, and so you like have to figure out some way to navigate this scenario.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a really needs an answer, right? It's a card that needs an answer. It's very powerful, clearly. It's not something that we've seen in Modern before, so we can't really predict officially where it's going to end up, but we have speculation as far as like what deck it might show up in. But let me just go back to something in this Banner Restricted post, though, too, because the part of the explanation for this was the cost. Both Bloodbraid Elf and Jace cost 4 mana. And so they're saying, here, and this is straight from the article, over time, competitive Modern has evolved to be a format of fast, proactive threats. The bar for tapping 4 lands during one's main phase to cast a single spell is quite high, often restricted to cards that threaten to win the game immediately. For example, if you look at the top 8 from Pro Tour Rivals of Ixalan, cards that cost 4 mana that aren't instants are far and few between. Cryptic Command, I'm sure they're thinking of when they say that.
No, not instants. Not instants.
Right, so that's what they're referring to. It's not Cryptic Command. Yeah. That one is 4 mana, but gets played a lot. Watching the format evolve...
Ad Nauseam, Through the Breach.
Sure. In watching the format evolve, we observed the decks seeking to control the game have struggled against the explosive win condition. It's struggled against the speed and variety of threats present in the format. Often these decks have been forced to adopt an explosive win condition of their own. Our hope is that Jace the Mind Sculptor will provide yet another option in an already diverse format, giving controlling decks an alternative way to close out prolonged games. So it's not a combo card specifically. It obviously is very powerful and can win the game on its own, but oftentimes you're incentivized to play cards that cost more than 4 mana that are part of a combo that just win you the game here and there, or here and now, I should say.
Yeah, and Jace at its strongest incentivizes you to make the game go 9 turns.
Right.
And that's like, play it, Fate Seal, Fate Seal, Fate Seal, Fate Seal, Fate Seal, Ultimate. Like, not turn 9. That's when that happens. And Jace, and some would argue that Jace at its strongest is like, just brainstorming every turn, and then you kill him with a banana, or a rubber mallet, or a slinky, or like whatever is laying around, because they just can't beat the 7 million cards you've drawn with your Jace, which is really where Jace is at its most powerful. And so I would argue, though, that with this unbanning, we still have not changed the most powerful card in Modern.
Which is?
Thoughtseize.
Uh-huh.
By about 100 miles. Because every single deck with Thoughtseize, you have a puncher's chance. You get to disrupt your opponent's game plan. You get to know what they're doing. You get to stall the early game. Like, and you can do one of two things with Thoughtseize. You can have Thoughtseize and try and play a protracted resource game. Like, where you each take each other's resources with Thoughtseizes, and then, like, you have big threats, mm-hmm. but you've poked a hole in their hands where the cards that you know they have can't beat your threats, so, like, you get to just crush them with Tarmogoyf. Like, Jund. That's the standard Thoughtseize deck. But you know what goes really good alongside Thoughtseize? Is Jace the Mind Sculptor. Because you take all the early game cards that are going to cause you to lose with Thoughtseize and Inquisition, and then you've grinded them into this protracted resource game where they have no resources, mm-hmm. and then you slam Jace and make sure they never draw a relevant card.
Kind of does a little Liliana of the Veil impression in a blue deck, right?
It's actually just better, because you can just say, cards that matter, you don't have. Whereas Liliana can't do that. It just says, cards that you have, you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is, between Jace and Liliana, and I've played Legacy so much with these two Planeswalkers going toe-to-toe against each other, the winner of the Jace versus Liliana game is always Jace. Liliana has to have something else alongside it to win the game. Jace is just, I'm here and you're dead. Like, yeah. That's how it plays out. Because, like, I've had opponents ultimate Liliana against me twice, and I just kept Jace and then exiled their library, and then they're just dead. Because they never drew a Tarmogoyf or a Punishing Fire or something relevant to, like, make my Jace do something. They just always drew like lands and discarded them. And I was like, okay, I don't care about the cards that I'm drawing that don't matter because I have this thing that's going to kill you. And so that's kind of what happens in that Liliana game. But you can use between like discard, mm-hmm. spell stand, mana leak, fatal push and path to exile and lightning bolt. You have all of these cards that can take all of your opponent's resources in the beginning of the game. You have to take one window to slam Jace and not lose to the top of their deck. And then once you've done that, if you have a Cryptic Command in your deck and Jace, you can beat them having two powerful draw steps. You face them with Jace, you put it on the bottom, they draw a relevant card, Cryptic Command it, and then you're pretty far ahead at that point. You have a Jace, they're still not drawing relevant cards,
yeah.
and you drew a card off your Cryptic Command. And when you get Snapcaster and Search Rescanta in the mix here, like that's kind of your mix that gets you somewhere when it comes to winning the game with Jace the Mindsculptor.
Yeah.
There's all these like 1 and 2 mana cards that disrupt your opponent's game plan, and then like some card advantage and Jace.
Yes, I didn't really think of the combination of blue and black. I think the places where my mind went with Jace were like straight. I mean, Grixis Control obviously is one. I didn't consider Thoughtseize, I should have. But
yeah.
but it seems to be like a card that I would think to slot into like blue white or Jeskai Control right now that kind of has
absolutely.
That flex spot of that 1 or 2 4 mana planeswalkers.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you're playing Gideon Allies Zendikar or Jace Architect of Thought, or I would almost even venture to say Gideon the Trials, but that one might just be good enough.
Yeah.
Like all of those immediately go to the sidelines and you play Jace.
Particularly Jace Architect of Thought. Does this just render Jace Architect of Thought useless in Modern? I mean, it provides card advantage, which is the biggest draw to that card. And Jace
so
provides
the,
selection, Jace the Mind Sculptor.
Yeah, so Jace the Mind Sculptor unhindered provides card advantage.
Yeah.
Like once you get to the second zone. The key is that Jace the Mind Sculptor protects itself much better against big threats.
Mm-hmm.
And it protects you against the top of your opponent's deck. Whereas Jace Architect of Thought protects you against a bunch of little threats. So if you expect the format to be playing a ton of Affinity and Lingering Souls and garbage like that, you would play Jace the Mind Sculptors, but you would also try and slot in an Architect of Thought because you can have them both in play and you protect yourself against Lingering Souls.
Yeah.
If you think your opponents are like, and it's embarrassing to bounce Death Shadow, but it at least interacts with Death Shadow, whereas Jace Architect of Thought just doesn't do anything.
Right.
If your opponents are on like Death Shadow and Gurmag Angler and like big ugly monsters like that, like Thought Not Seer, you want to play Mind Sculptor to lift them up and make them replay. Because then they have to invest all of their mana and put the stuff back in play.
Now, before we go too far with Jace, I just want to make one more point here, maybe one more point for discussion. Is cost
sure.
4 mana, we talked about the mana cost. Is it going to be as oppressive as we fear in this format that already is hard-pressed to find 4 mana planeswalkers? Obviously, we talked about blue-white control, which seems like a great home for it, as well as Grixis control. I mean, should we be worried about this? Like that gives you plenty of time to find the counterspell for it. It gives you plenty of time to set up your board presence.
The problem is Jace unchecked is a very bad play experience. And
yeah.
I think that's what people are scared of, is if you've played against Jace before and you've watched your opponent play a Jace and you've kind of been behind and then you just fell further and further behind.
Yeah.
And then like the inevitable, okay, Fate Seal you, time to lock the game up. Like you can, it's like this giant rock that you see coming to run over your soul, but
mm-hmm.
you can't really stop it and you can't
run
get out of it.
Run over your soul.
Yeah. Like, it's like playing against Lantern, but worse because there are counterspells involved.
Yeah.
That's not a particularly fun play better. But you're right. If your opponent, if you don't draw the right collection of interaction,
yeah,
your Jace is kind of like this really awkward card. Like I went over before. It's like, well, you got this awkward 4 mana unsummon and then gets bolted.
Yeah.
And you got all these really weird situations that happen with Jace. And you got the Jace sub game. But like in games where, you know, we're trying to play these longer games, longer than 4 turns, like Jace is very likely to take over the game when not opposed by cards like Bloodbraid Elf that threaten it and provide card advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to naturally fit into blue eye control and things like that. And I think it's much scarier than people think, not because of the fact that we all know how it finishes the game, but it's like this compact card that finishes the game. It's like before in your blue-white control decks and your Jeskai control decks and your Grixis control decks, you had to play cards that actually won you the game. And that was the purpose.
Yeah.
Like, you had to play, like, Torrential Jewel or Tassiker or Gurmagen. And, like, those cards were there to win you the game. And that's all they did. But the problem is, like, most of those control decks, guess what? They don't have a lot of creatures.
Yeah.
So now you've taken this whole, like, the concept of the control deck, which is this whole sub, it's to turn off this whole subset of cards in your opponent's deck, namely creature removal, make them irrelevant, and then to kill you with, like, a Slinky or some Strip Mines or whatever thing they can find. Whereas, like, now you've got the Manlands, which are basically free, but die to their removal. So, yeah. Like, your removal is turned on. Unless you're, like, activating Colonnade with, like, 6 mana up, smashing and, like, cryptic counter draw, and, like, you're trying to do all this unwieldy stuff to protect your 4/4.
Yep.
Or you've got Tassiger, and, like, then it just dies to Path or Dismember or, you know, Terminate or whatever. And if you have to team up 2 removal spells on it, you're just point ahead. And, like, Corey Burkhart played a P.N. Kieran, which is an effective card advantage, I mean, because it's, like, the front half of Lingering Souls, but it also just dies. And now you have to hope that 2-1 ones are enough. Jace takes all these weird cards that we're trying to kill the opponent with and says, I'm going to staple that to a card advantage and see what happens. Okay! Like, you would, yeah, you want to give me a card advantage engine that protects me and kills them? Okay, I'm in. Sure.
Yes. So we know it's really good. My question was more, is it too expensive? Is that going to be the factor that keeps it in check? Is the factor that keeps it in check?
Like, P and Kieran. Like, it's a card that you can compare to. Gideon Allies Endicard. Yeah. Like, these are 4 mana cards that win the game. They see play in some matchups and they don't in others.
Right.
The difference is here is that, like, in the matchups that P and Kieran and, like, Gideon Allies Endicard are bad, Jace is actually good.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
that's interesting.
Guess what decks I want to play Jace against? Ad nauseam. Titan Shift. I want to play it against the combo decks that I stopped them from going off the first time. I play Jace and they never get to go off the second time. Because they just have to find the card, like a specific card, and guess what they aren't finding? The cards they're looking for.
Yeah.
Like if your Titan Shift opponent spends like 4 turns playing all these spells to put lands into play, and they have like 1 card in their hand, they're like, all right, prime time. They're like, all right, Cryptic, counter draw, Jace, Fate Seal you, Thought Seize you, make sure you don't have Escape Shift so I don't just randomly die. And like, you leave their crappy card on top, and then they just never draw a real magic card. And if they do, you can draw a Snapcaster or a Cryptic or a Mana Leak or something that prevents them from just killing them outright.
Yes. All right, let's go on. We got to talk about Bloodbraid Elf too, don't we?
I'm a big fan of Bloodbraid Elf. like
the unbanning of Bloodbraid Elf specifically.
To be honest with you, I looked at this and I'm like, Jace, yes, I love control. I'm doing Jace. And then I thought about it more and more. And I'm like, you know, Thoughtseize is still the best magic card in this format.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably just going to play Jund. I think I just want to play Bloodbraid Elf.
There you
go. I want to play Bloodbraid Elf and Blood Moon and Thoughtseize and just make my opponents miserable.
But before we go too far, we should have done this with Jace. I never read the card, but Bloodbraid Elf, I just want to clear up like what it does for those that are unfamiliar. 2 red green for a 3/2 elf berserker with haste, and it has Cascade, which if you're looking at an old version of the card, it says when you play this spell, it has been changed to when you cast, which is functionally the same thing, but different wording that makes a little more sense. So you're going to Cascade as soon as you play Bloodbraid Elf and before it's on the table. So you're going to get a Tarkus Command, Kolaghan's Command, Blightning's the one I'm thinking of, was the hit from the past. Maelstrom Pulse. The old school one. Bob, Dark Confidant. You know,
I mean,
any number of things.
You skipped over the best one.
Ancestral Vision and Living End are possibilities.
I mean, you still missed the best one, which is Liliana of the Veil.
Liliana of the Veil, yeah.
That's the best one. Like, those were the games you could never win with the control deck when your opponent played Bloodbraid Elf, and then they cascaded into Liliana of the Veil. You just picked your cards up. You literally couldn't win.
That sounds pretty miserable.
It's not fun.
So do you think this one's okay? This unbanning?
So I think this unbanning is fine. It's just a 3/2 aggressive card that gets you a little card advantage.
Yeah.
I think Bloodbraid Elf died for Deathrite Shaman's Sins. Because, like, Bloodbraid Elf on turn 4 is just like, yeah, sure. You, like, get a Thoughtseize. Or, like, a Liliana is, like, the scariest card. You get a Thoughtseize, you get a Blood Moon, you get a Tireless Tracker. You can't get an Armageddon anymore. You can't boom bust people, which is great. You can't, like, cascade into boom and then bust and kill all the lands and have, like, a Knight of the Reliquary. And just like, gah, 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 gah. No, that's not free anymore. So, like, you have to play real Magic with this card. And it's just, like, a fair mid-range card. It's just a 2-for-1. You know, it's kind of abysmal with Kolaghan's Command and Risefall and stuff like that. It's not particularly fun to play against.
It doesn't work with Risefall, does it? That's 4 mana.
You just... Oh, not anymore!
Yeah.
So, alright, so the miserable part is gone then. Like, yeah, that was real bad.
It's
Risefall made it real bad.
It is abusable with Ancestral Vision, though. And it's abusable with Living End. Okay. So keep that in mind. I mean, there are ways to take advantage of the cascade, and it doesn't happen to be Risefall, which is
significant. So you're probably not playing Bloodbraid in your Living End deck.
Probably not, but who knows?
Let's talk about Ancestral Vision.
Let's say what?
How in the world do we make Ancestral Vision the top card of our library in a reasonable way?
Yeah, I don't know. I was wondering that.
We should play Brainstorm.
What?
We should play Brainstorm.
Oh, yeah. Jace and Bloodbraid Elf in the same deck? Is that what you're saying?
We did it! There it is! That's the deck. Mono 4-drops can't ever be, like, mono, no black cards 4-drops can't ever beat a combo deck. Like, that's a great idea, Corey. That's wonderful.
Lingering Souls. That was one I didn't mention.
Oh, yeah. Lingering Souls is a nice hit. That when the Jund deck was the best deck, the Jund deck sideboarded Lingering Souls to, like, yeah.
Let's reel this back in. Before we get too crazy, realistic here is Jund for Bloodbraid Elf. Bloodbraid Elf was alive in Modern at some point, and you say it died. Bloodbraid Elf died for Deathrite Shaman's Sins. Yeah. Notably, and I'm going to go through an old list here, an old Jund list, that had Deathrite Shaman in it. So keep that in mind. 4 Liliana of the Veil, 4 Deathrite Shaman, 4 Tarmogoyf, 4 Bloodbraid Elf, 4 Dark Confidant, 3 Thoughtseize, 3 Inquisition, 2 Blightning, 1 Maelstrom Pulse, 4 Bolts, 2 Abrupt Decay, 1 Terminate, and 24 lands, you know, including some man lands.
Raging Ravines.
What? Raging Ravines, yeah. Now, here's the deal. Deathrite Shaman is a big boon to a 4-drop in a deck like this.
Yep.
And there, I mean, what are we going to do? Is Jund going to play, like, Birds of Paradise now to make sure that you can get Bloodbraid off in a timely fashion? Or is it significantly hindered by the fact that we don't have Deathrite Shaman? I think so.
I don't think it's significantly hindered, but I think, like, the advent of all these really aggressive fast combo decks I don't think Bloodbraid Elf is going to be a 4-of. And I mean, I'm totally probably wrong that it's like it's just laser 4-of, and I'm an idiot. I don't think your Jund decks are going to look like this one 4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4 like 1-2-1.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're going to play 4-Dark Confidant, 4-Tarmogoyf. But now you've got a lot of variance in your threats because Scavenged Ooze was in a card then. Grim Flayer, Tireless Tracker, the ability to play 2 Lilianas and the second good Liliana. Like, there's a lot of really good cards now that Jund wants to include in their deck. Chandra, the new Chandra, like Torture Defiance, Huntmaster. Like, there are a lot of really good Jund cards. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like Jund cards I own, which ones are good. Like, I'm kind of excited to play like a Jund deck with Bloodbraid Elf and play Seasons Past in it because, like, picking up a Bloodbraid Elf,
there's also the other Liliana that can do that well too, which some of the Jund decks are already playing.
Yeah, and so like there's this plethora of cards that you want to play. At some point, something has to hit the road.
Yeah,
and I think it's going to be like quad laser instantaneously Bloodbraid Elf. I think you're going to get like 3 Bloodbraid Elves here's the problem that I kind of see overarching with the Sunban is that it segments the format into two directions. It segments the format into decks that ignore this.
Yeah.
So, like, what decks can I play that my opponent never gets to cast a 4-drop?
Burn,
Boggles, Storm, Affinity, Infect. Like, those decks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the control decks and the Jund deck, they have natural weapons against those decks. But even then, sometimes you just can't beat Storm or Boggles, or you just can't do it. And so you just lose. And there's like, it's going to be like this mid-range 2-for-1 fest where like literal Bloodbraid Elf plus Jace is actually probably a deck because like people are trying to have more two-for-ones than the other guy.
Yeah.
And so, like, Rug Waterfalls with, like, you know, Ancestral Vision, like you were saying, which I think is absolutely insane, is like an actual deck.
Yeah. And Rug value.
Yeah. And so, like, I think you just have this, like, very difficult, like, I think it's very polarizing.
Yeah.
Is that, like, there's going to be decks that are trying to play these cards and decks that are trying to ignore them. And there's not really going to be much of a middle ground in between. Like, I think you're going to see, like, Collected Company has a really good matchup against Blue-White Control.
Mm-hmm.
And Jace doesn't really do anything to increase the Collected Company, like, decrease the percentage for Collected Company. But I'll tell you what it does do is Collected Company gets beat up on by, like, hasty 3-2s that give you extra removal spells.
Yeah. That's, like, funny you say that, because I'm a member of some of the Toolbox communities. We have one on Facebook, actually. And people are kind of freaking out about the Jace unbanning in those decks. But I would agree. I think that tap out for a 4-mana Jace, that's like doors open for Collected Company or Court of Calling at that point.
Yeah, I'm slamming Collected Company. I'm getting my 2-for-1.
Yeah.
I'm putting, like, Bombanop Excavator to play. I'm killing one of your lands. I'm getting the land back, and I'm killing another one of your lands.
Oh, you're thinking, like, green light value?
Yeah, I'm thinking that, like, either you're going to try and combo and ignore the Jace. Mm-hmm. So you're like Abzan Company, and it's like not trying to Kitchen Finks combo. You're like trying to Devoted Druid Ballista them.
Yeah.
Like the Kitchen Finks combo kind of loses all its luster against the control decks because they have this outlet to just kill you.
You know what gets better, though, is Bant value. So Bant value with Spell Quellers, and you can even run like Stubborn Denials in like a Knight of the Reliquary deck, I think, to some effect. Maybe on the sideboard, I don't know.
Sure. I mean, so the problem is, like, how big of a punch in the gut it is when your Spellcaller dies and they get their Jace back.
It gets bounced.
Yeah, oof. Oh, man, they bounce your Spellcaller and they cast their thing? Oh, boy. That doesn't feel good.
What is it that they play? It's Unified Will, I think, is a really good spell for those decks. Probably better than Stubborn Denial. I'm getting a little too fancy with that, but
yeah, you're trying to force spike some Jason, I can tell. but I think the Collected Company isn't a deck I'm afraid of because of Jace. Like, I would still play Collected Company in the face of Jace because I get Voice Resurgence and Kitchen Finks. So you have all these 2-for-1s that force the removal deck to, like, spend all their removal. And then, like, hope that, like, Jace against Kitchen Finks is embarrassing if they have another creature in play.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you, like, bounce their Kitchen Finks. And they're like, all right, kill your Jace, replay my Kitchen Finks, go. And now you have to beat this Kitchen Finks again.
Yeah.
Which is, like, unless you're playing white mana and have Path to Exile, is absolutely a miserable, like, proposition. It's not enjoyable whatsoever.
Right.
So, like, I'm not afraid for, like, because of Jace for Green White Value Town. I'm afraid of Bloodbraid Elf and Tarmogoyf and friends just beating up my crappy little, like, 2/2s.
Yeah. All right. So how about this one? And this could be a really short conversation, but Bloodbraid Elf is in Elf. Does Elf
spare? No dams given. I'm gonna keep it so I can be explicit tag.
Yeah,
they give not a single solitary dam about
No farks.
No coins for your wares, Mr. Bloodbraid Elf. No coins for your wares.
All right. Well, there's a possibility here. Dwinin's Elite gives you an extra elf, and it goes well with Heritage Druid.
There are no coins. Tajik does not have coins for Bloodbraid Elf's wares.
Karnak Life is supported by The Discard. Visit thediscard.com for a variety of Magic content, including news, set reviews, limited, and constructed strategy. All right, let's go on here. We're going to go on to the last topic, unless there's anything else you want to add about the band.
Now, we've ranted for an hour about this. Can we just,
The last thing is just as significant, honestly. It is hugely significant, but it's totally flying under the radar.
This got totally buried in the Bloodbraid Elves and the Jace.
Maybe it's on purpose. I don't know. I don't think this is anything that people would react negatively.
No, this is a huge positive, though.
The data policy
got buried. Yeah.
The data policy is changing now. So we've been whining about the hiding of data for a long time, which seems to have been working because Modern has been in a great place, and the ban list as it was seems to have been working because Modern is in a great place. But for some reason, we decided to fix what ain't broken today. And yeah, anyways, that's another topic.
All the unbroken things are now fixed. Yes.
So now what we're going to do is we're going to go to a system in which they're going to show all of the possible differences in 5-0 decks with 20 cards as the limit for what is considered a similar deck. So instead of every day a league results being posted with 5 decks randomly selected.
You've misstated that.
Say it again. Or you go for it.
So the decks have to have 20 cards different.
Right.
To be posted.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say. Sorry.
Yeah, that's very, what you said is very different. said 20 cards similar, which is very different. Yeah, than 20
I
said cards.
20 cards similar would be considered the same deck, I guess is what I was trying to say.
No, it would not. 20 cards similar would be different decks because it's over the maximum of 20 different cards.
Oh.
Yeah. So if they have 40 of or 55 of 75 shared, then they get to be different. If there's like 60 of 75 shared, they're not different, which is really awkward because then like all the like Jace testing decks, they're like 3 islands, some Jaces, some Cryptics, and some Snapcasters that end up with like 30 or 40 of these like similar cards, kind of just get like no third, and they kind of get lumped in this pile. Same thing with Bloodbraid Elf, but like you do get some like wild decks that wouldn't normally show up.
Let me read this straight from the article. Initial testing at 20 seems to be leading to better diversity, showing a wider spread of the metagame. So we're moving the definition of distinct to 20 card differentiation. So they're considered distinct if there are 20 cards that are considered different. Okay.
So that's not the card that matters.
Okay. But here's the information that we're getting at here.
Yeah.
Twice a week, modern results will be posted that show every deck that is considered different based on those parameters. There you go.
Twice for standard, twice for modern, once for legacy, once for vintage, once for modern.
Sorry, I'm focused on modern here, but yes. And there actually is a schedule online as well, so let's just take a look at that because the decks are going to be posted at certain points in the week, and that's going to deprive us of our daily fix of deck lists. However, I think we can take it because when they come to us, there are going to be an unrestricted number of decks posted. So here's the schedule. Mondays, we're going to get standard results for every new or unique deck posted in that posted a 5-0 finish since the last posting. Tuesdays, modern. Wednesdays, pauper. Thursdays, standard. Fridays, modern. Saturdays, legacy. And Sunday, commander and vintage. There you go. What do you think, Daryl?
Can't complain.
Yeah, net positive.
I'm a huge fan of data. I'm a huge fan of trying new things. I'm a huge fan of sweet decks. Like, I'm going to hit up all those vintage results and just see, like, what garbage pile of planeswalkers I can put in a deck. Like, I'm going to have those legacy results and see how I can avoid playing a deck that's called pile. And I don't know what I'm going to do with that modern stuff. Yet. That modern has me – I have a lot of trepidation right now about what I want to be doing in modern. Like, I don't think I want to be anywhere near Jace the Mind Sculptor, which is really bizarre because I'm a huge fan of control. I just don't really want to – The card seems real toxic to me, and I feel like everyone's going to be like, how do I beat Jace? And I just don't want to be the guy playing the thing that everyone's going for.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So the goal with this was to show what is possible, not necessarily show you what is most played. And that's kind of the fear that they had going into this was if they show all of the 5-0 decks or a random sampling of them, they're going to demonstrate how many people are on humans at any given point in time, for example. So now this is cool. I think this is neat to see. Like, there are probably plenty of decks that are really interesting that aren't getting posted because they're just not randomly selected as one of the 5 that gets shown up or that gets shown every posting. So now we're going to see all of them. And it's kind of cool to see what's out there. And even more so, if a posting goes up and we don't see a particular deck, that's like huge information, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah, like if like Through the Breach, like Jeskai Through the Breach or like Titan Shift or something doesn't post a 5-0, you're like, Titan Shift? Really, guys? No 5-0s?
So I don't know. I think it's going to be maybe like an overwhelming amount of information at first. It's going to take us a while to adjust to what it all means. But I love deck lists, and I think that giving players an opportunity to showcase their finishes is a big deal too, because that's kind of what a lot of people play those competitive leagues for, those opportunities to get posted and have your name in lights for a moment. And now you don't have to play the lottery of will my deck get selected. I mean, you kind of do, but if you've designed a nice brew, it's going to show up on there.
I'd say you have to play the lottery of can I 5-0, which is a huge lottery to play.
It is a lottery. And so the Pirate Stompy decks, as I previously mentioned.
Got him.
Would have to be dropping after 4-0 because that deck would show up in the posting.
Yeah, the Pirate Stompy deck was they tried to hide it for Eternal Weekend, which makes sense.
That's right.
They didn't want people to know the deck.
Didn't want everyone to know the power of the Pirates.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think that closes out. We don't need to talk too much about that. I think any other day we would, but we spent a lot of time on the ban and the unbannings, I should say.
Hey, I'm proud of us. We avoided the explicit tag.
We did. We did, didn't we, Daryl?
Which is impressive. Because I certainly thought I was going to drop an F-bomb or two during this discussion. Because this is just confusing. I'm going to be scratching my head for days about this.
Yeah, I'm going to be testing for days about this is what I'm going to do. But I am looking forward to this weekend. One last go without having to deal with Jace.
I'm looking forward to Valentine's Day.
Is it a Valentine's Day present from Wizards or is it a Valentine's Day curse?
My fiance would say that it's a Valentine's Day massacre. Like, she would not be very happy with it. But she also said that we weren't celebrating Valentine's Day on Valentine's Day. We were doing it some other time when we didn't have the kids. So it's a bonus.
Yeah.
But, like, it will come out on the Wednesday after the Moto update. So Valentine's Day it is. Yeah. Everybody will get to play with Jace.
All right. Anyways, before we close out, one last plug for ManaTraders.com. We are so happy to be partnered.
I'm going to do this every time I mention ManaTraders. Just above.
Go to ManaTraders.com. CardKnockLife is our promo code. It will get you 14% off 4 months of your subscription. The first 4 months specifically, and you will not be disappointed. I'm super happy with it. It really is an awesome service. So
yeah, it is. It's amazing.
Thank you guys for your support. All right.
Awesome.
That's all we got. Closing out. See you next week.
Later.
CardKnockLife is proud to be a part of MTGCast.com. We can be reached at CardKnockLifePodcast.com or on Twitter at card_knock_life. We're always looking for more help in generating content for the website, and if you'd be interested in doing so, please email at CardKnockLifePodcast@gmail.com.